Adoration. We love you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. You are mighty God. You are mighty King. And we love you. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Magnified be your holy name. Exalted be your holy name. Glorified be your holy name. We love you, Lord. We exalt you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to our God. Praise be to our King. Praise be to our Lord. Praise be to Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Receive, Lord, the praises from our lips. Receive, Lord, the gladness of our hearts. Receive, Lord, our strength, the best that we have, our dedication, our commitment, our zeal towards you, Father. May it be, Lord, a sweet incense into your ears, Lord, into your presence, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us through a year, Lord, that was highly unpredictable. Unknown. Thank you, Father, for keeping us, keeping our families, keeping us together, Lord. And Lord, we thank you right away for a wonderful new year that you have in front of us, Lord. And Lord, we dedicate this first service, Lord, to you. We dedicate, Lord, ourselves to you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we worship you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. I'd like to welcome everyone this morning. Welcome to this morning's service. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you very much. It's good to see all of you this morning. And we reflect upon the things that the Lord has done for us. We reflect upon how the Lord has brought us through all types of situations. If you're here, or if you watched our New Year's service, one of the things that I've said that I've never said before is a New Year's service is a Thanksgiving service. It's not the service that you have on Thanksgiving Day. We are supposed to be thankful every single day for a new day that the Lord has given us. A new day that the Lord has woken us up for us to enjoy this beautiful earth that he has blessed us with, that he placed us in for us to take care. And bless the name of the Lord for all that he has done, bringing us through thick and thin. But on the very last day of the year, we reflect back on the entire year. And all of us potentially might have something that you wish you could take back. Right? I wish I would have done this differently. I wish I would have gone this way instead of that way. So therefore, this upcoming year, I'm going to do things differently when it comes to such and such a thing. Now, one thing that is very, very important that we all should know. We should know this. Agree with me or not, that we are supposed to live differently than anybody around us. Yes, no, maybe so. Yes, I see a thumbs up over there. I see some head nods. Two thumbs up. I like the two thumbs up. Yes. We are supposed to be different. We are supposed to be peculiar. We are supposed to be, hey, a little bit weird, right? These people that talk a funny language, and they act a little bit funny, and they're talking to an invisible person. A lot of times you see these folks speaking to themselves. What is going on? They don't dress like us. They don't look like us. They don't behave like us. They don't speak like us. We are supposed to be different. As a Christian, we're supposed to live a different life than those that are around us. But how can we do that when we're surrounded by so many temptations? How should we do that when we are surrounded by so many things that we're not supposed to do? And then you look back in this past year and you said, I wasn't supposed to do that because of such and such and such. Or, I have been battling this particular situation for such a length of time. It could be anything. It could be a problem with an addiction. An addiction comes in many different ways. Right? It's just not one thing. I used to be addicted to Coca-Cola. I used to have to drink a can of Coke every single morning for breakfast. That was the best breakfast to me. Not just Coke. Right? Not just Coke. I was a crane operator for a while, and then the economy went belly up, so I went back to the car business, and I somewhat stayed in the car business since then. But nonetheless, I used to love going to McDonald's. Now, you might disagree with me, but McDonald's breakfast is all right. I prefer their breakfast over their lunch or dinner. They got the bagels, they got the steak, they got the eggs and the cheese, right? Come on now. Steak, egg, and cheese on a bagel? That's all right. That's okay. With a nice, a little Coke on the side to wash it down. My, ugh, you could just feel the heartburn. Nonetheless, I used to wake up in the morning looking forward. I said, I can't wait to get to McDonald's. And there, even after I left that, the construction business, well, I was a loader. I used to load barges with big, long steel beams along with scrap metal to be sent to North Carolina. It was North or South Carolina. You get melted down and then things, you know, are made out of it. Cars that would be shredded, recycled. I used to load all that up with a 5,000-pound magnet that was attached to the arm of a crane. Anyways, I'm talking about things that hold you down, addictions. It can come in many different assets, many different ways. And a lot of people nowadays make a New Year's resolution. And they want to change certain things that they did in the past in the hopes for a better life, a better situation, improve themselves health-wise, so many different things. Eating healthier, exercising more, cleaning up your language, maybe bettering your demeanor. But when you have so many things around us that affect the way that we do things, how do we overcome that? What's the first thing that comes to mind that affected you this past year based upon your surroundings? Social distancing as a result of COVID-19, right? between a couple other things. You can't go anywhere now without a mask, right? We have so many people now telling you that you can't go to church. You can't have meetings. You can't celebrate Christmas. You can't leave state lines. All these things. You have to remain 6-7 feet away from the next person and always wear a face covering of some sort. These are things that have affected us, right? In 2020. But now we are in 2021. I want to read a small story for you right now. This is a real story. This is a true story. Back in the 14th century, in a region now that is better known as Belgium. Who has heard of Belgium? Potentially you have heard of Belgium because of their wonderful chocolate. I love chocolate from Belgium. It's known as the best chocolate. That's right. There was a duke by the name of Reinald III. I see that most of you might have not heard, but that's okay. That's even better. Please listen. Reinald had a nickname. His nickname was Crassus. Crassus meant fat. And he was fat because he really, really liked to eat. I mean, he liked to eat. And eat a lot. And in the course of time, he had a violent quarrel with his younger brother, Edward, which resulted in Edward leading a revolt against him. Edward took Reinald prisoner and took him back to the Newkirk Castle, where he had a special room built around him. He promised his brother he could regain his title and property as soon as he was able to leave the room. Stick with me right now, because it gets interesting. Now, for normal size people, that would have not been an issue at all. It would not have been a problem. There were several windows and doors, normal size, and none of them were locked or barred. The problem for Reinald was his size. In order to leave the room, he had to lose some weight. But Edward knew his brother's weakness, and he made sure trays of delicious food were delivered to his room each and every single day. And thus, instead of dieting his way out of prison, Reinald grew fatter. When Edward was accused of cruelty, He readily replied this answer. My brother is not a prisoner. He may leave when he so wills. That was his quote. You with me so far? Reinald stayed in that room for 10 years. And wasn't released until after Edward died in a battle. By then, his health was so ruined that he died within 1 year after his release. He died a prisoner to his own appetite. That's the story. A story from Thomas Constant's history, The Three Edwards. Now, why am I telling you this story right now? This morning, we are going to read a warning that the Apostle Paul had to the new Christians of Ephesus, where he urged them something like this: don't die a prisoner to your own appetite. Now, of course, Paul wasn't speaking about dieting. Paul wasn't speaking about nutrition or anything of the above. But you understand the nature of the story, where it goes, where this is heading. We are going to see how Paul addressed the church in Ephesus. This morning, I would like to start out the scripture reading from Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to develop right now a study on Ephesians 4. And we are going to cover a chunk of verses. I'm just going to come off screen here. Give me just a moment. Grab my Bible. We're going to cover verses 17 through 20. Ephesians 4, 17 and 20. You know, when I used to be a youngster, right? Back in the days of my youth, the preacher would say, if you are there, say amen. Usually around this time, I recollect a lot of things. So, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, are we ready? Here we go. Ephesians 4:19 says this. I'm sorry, Ephesians 4:17, 17 through 20. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Now, that's not the way they learned Christ, but that is how they grew up, the Ephesians. They once walked as the Gentiles walked and did the things as the Gentiles did, because they lived in a small area, maybe not even small, I wouldn't even say small, an area called Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was not per se a backwater town. If in case you take the time to read about this ancient world of Ephesus, it was no small thing. It was a thriving seaport, proudly referred to as, quote, the treasure house of Asia. And it was highly prized by the Romans. They had invested a huge amount of money in building the city up, and it was the center of the area that the Roman governor would often go there and hold legal proceedings, and he would hold meetings. But it wasn't a very nice city. It was the home to the temple of Diana, Artemis, potentially, if you might have heard, the goddess of fertility. Her temple was a huge structure that could accommodate over 24,000 people and is reckoned as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But because Artemis was the goddess of fertility, the worship there included the burning of incense and the playing of fluted music. And the whole atmosphere was assigned to arouse the worshipers into an emotional frenzy and engage in shameless acts and shameless sexual behaviors is what resulted from all of this. And for right now, we're just going to leave it at that. All right? Ephesus was also a city of criminals. How so? The tradition in Ephesus states this, that if any criminal reached the temple of Diana, they were granted asylum for their crimes. They couldn't be punished. So that's where all the criminals eventually fled to. That's where they all ended up living. They couldn't be persecuted. So, Ephesus was an extremely popular city, but also an extremely immoral city. And that's where these Ephesian Christians grew up, and that's where they lived all their lives. And that's, and you might just imagine right now, potentially, it would be a very difficult task for you to live a humble Christian life in a situation like that, in an area like that. It'll be very hard for a Christian man to follow good, proper morals in a city that is surrounded by all these things. The temptation to do evil things existed in every single street corner. And the Ephesians lived right there in the midst of some pretty nasty stuff. It's all around them. It's everywhere. It's like nowadays we got to wear a mask everywhere. This is how it was. Out in the open, shameless. Now the question arose, how could Christians avoid getting dragged into their old lifestyle again? This is the question right now. How can a Christian woman, a Christian man, avoid being dragged into that mud, into that circumstance, into that lifestyle? How can Christians avoid becoming imprisoned by their own carnal appetite? How? These are some questions that not only did those folks face, but we also face these questions in the present world. We face these questions today. There are many that might be watching this right now, will be watching, or even here, that might have a particular situation that they want to leave back in 2020, and they want to start a fresh, brand new, a clean slate. In 2021, how do we do that? Well, one way would be to get bad folks from doing bad stuff. How about that? What are the possibilities of that? Let's get this bad guy, this bad woman from keeping from doing all these bad things, and yes, that's how you do it. I mean, if we could just convince people to stop listening to music that has bad lyrics, right? Or watching inappropriate films. Or even engaging in some of these things, in some of these films. You know, oftentimes I've heard growing up of kids watching these violent movies and then afterwards kill somebody or really hurt someone, hurt their sibling, hurt their brother or sister, or act on it because they saw something on TV, saw something on a movie, or maybe even the more immoral side of things. You know what I'm trying to say. But if we could only stop that, all those things, right? Or convince them to stop sleeping around and living a promiscuous life with their boyfriend, with their girlfriend, or committing adultery, treating women as though it's just an object. Or if we could convince them to stop cursing and saying, or even writing. Right? Don't we live in a day and age where as though we live our life through a text message board or a social status? You want to get to know somebody? Befriend them on a social media platform, right? I was having a conversation with a coworker of mine, and she was saying how she has a teenage daughter, and she just bought a house this past year. So her teenage daughter is going from, you know, one school to another school, and she's already making friends with the people from the new school before she even met them. I said, how so? It's a Facebook. What? How? She was saying she's already being asked out to go out on dates before she even started attending school. So I said, huh? She said, do you live under a rock? She has friends who are friends with these friends, and then these friends are friends with the kids from this school, and now they just heard that she is about to go to this school, so now they send friend requests in here, and then now all of a sudden everybody knows each other. It's acquaintance. There's a huge acquaintance, so once you get to that school, it's like, hey, what's up? High five. Let's go grab lunch. They already know each other, right? This is the day and age that we live in. I was like, whoa, dude, how I feel old right now. Like, really. But nonetheless, I'm talking about cleaning up our language. Cursing, profanity, or even writing hateful things, writing mean things. I mean, if we could just do that, well then, being a Christian would be so much easier, wouldn't it be? It would be super easy. It would be a cake walk. It'd be tremendously easy. Don't you think? If all these bad things were just removed from in front of me, be thou removed. I have arrived. Everybody to be holy. But Paul tells us this, that that's not going to be very successful. Not very successful at all. Let's continue. Ephesians 4, verses 18 and 19. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated, thank you, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness and to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, these folks have lived like this, in this situation, in this circumstance for so long, that if you've asked them to stop, most likely they're going to ask you, why? What for? What do you mean? Why should I stop? They are alienated from God. There's a hardness and a callousness inside of them. They're so imprisoned by their lifestyle that the Apostle Paul says they've given themselves to lewdness. They've given themselves up to sensuality, etc., etc. They've gotten to the point where they ask, what's the point? It's so hard to stop doing it. So why bother? You know, several years ago, have you guys heard of a television channel called MTV? They used to actually play music videos. The word is now that they don't even play music videos anymore. It's all reality shows and everything else in between. But several years ago, MTV did a special series on how our entertainment industry views the seven deadly sins. For example, pride, lust, and greed. Various actors and singers said things like this, quote, I don't think pride is a sin. I think some idiot made that up. That's a quote of one person. Someone else said this, quote, greed is good. And a singer from a certain rock band declared these words, lust is what I live for. The narrator of the show, his name is Kurt Loder. He's been with them for many years. Kurt Loder said this, quote, we are dealing with compulsions. The seven deadly sins are not evil acts, but rather universal human compulsions that can be troubling and highly enjoyable. This came from John McCarthy's article on the MTV special series called Theology of Sin. Now, in other words, many of the entertainment industry have given themselves up to all carnal things. They've accepted their cage of compulsions and accepted the idea that I'm not getting out of here. They've accepted the idea that it's not going to go anywhere. This is how it was last year. This is how I was the year before. This is how it's been for the past 5, 10, 15, 30 years. And today is just another day, just like yesterday. A lot of people now are saying to themselves, why bother? I'm too old for this. By contrast, the reason that we Christians, don't buy into that is that our Lord Jesus has promised to free us from the things, like these things, from all the things that we have been made ashamed of. This was His promise to us. But the pagan world isn't going to change just because we say that they should change. It's probably not going to happen. Another way to escape the prison of sin would be to practice social distancing. How about that? We love social distancing, don't we? So if you practice social distancing, we could be away from sin. Now, if you go live in a corner, lock yourself up in a monastery, or go and live in a cave somewhere, then yes, that is a solution to the problem. That's what people did back in the Middle Ages. But Paul tells us this. He tells us that that's not very practical. You want to see that verse? 1 Corinthians 5, 2 verses, 9 and 10. I'm ready for that. This is what he wrote. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters. Since then, we would need to go out of this world. Do we need to go out of this world in order for us to be sin-free? Folks, there's no avoiding the fact that we live in a fallen world. That we live in a world that does not know our God. That does not trust in God. That doesn't believe in God. In His miracle, in His power, in the power of His blood to keep us from all unrighteousness, from all sickness, from all diseases, from all viruses. They don't know this God. They don't know His promises. So, if I can't convince a bad person to change from their bad ways, and if I can't practice effective social distancing by living in a cave somewhere, we're living underneath of a rock. How can I avoid being imprisoned by my own natural carnal appetites? Just like everybody else does. How can I avoid? Well, this is what Paul says we should do. Paul says, put off. Put off. Off. Ephesians 4:22, please. That you do what? Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And you know where lusts come from. It comes from within. It comes from your mind. Paul is saying, cut it out. Put off. In other words, determine not to live by your appetites. Decide you are not going to live like everybody else lives. That's what repentance, folks, is all about. This is why we repent. Repentance is the decision to turn around and leave the old lifestyle behind. This is such an abiding teaching that a lot of people measure their spirituality that way. And oftentimes they say things like this, and maybe you might have even heard me say this once up here, or you might have heard somewhere else. Quote, look at what I don't do. I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't date girls that do. I like that. That's an oldie but a goodie. But if that's your only way to measure your Christianity, folks, look at me and look at what I don't do. Look at all these things that I abstain myself and the people that I associate with, right? If that is all that you measure, your faith, your belief, your Christianity, then you're missing out. You miss the point. You're missing something. It's not enough to stop the bad stuff. It's not just that. It's not enough to take off the dirty deeds. It's not just enough to stop. That's not enough. Let me use an illustration right now because maybe you might be a little bit confused. Well, Pastor, we're not supposed to do this. We're not supposed to do that. Well, what do you mean that's not enough? Well, look at it this way. Let's say that you are in a garden, right? And you're digging up dirt and you're pulling weeds. We have a lot of weeds in my house. There's this little garden area there, this little circular thing, some stones around it, and put some dirt on it. And it's, wow. It looks like my regular grass, right? But let's say you're working in the garden. You're working up a storm. You're sweating up a storm. You're dirty. You get all done, and then you realize that at that moment you have, let's say, a date, a dinner date with a family, with a friend, right? That night. What do? You go inside. You take off your clothes. And you take a shower. Right? Once you towel off, you're ready to go out to eat, right? Are you ready to go out to eat once you towel off? They arrest people like that, you know. And catch a charge. That's illegal. Not borderline illegal. That is straight up illegal. You can't do that. You're not ready. You have to put on clean clothes, right? You have to replace what you just took off. You took off, you cleansed yourself, you smell nice, you comb your hair, you might put some stuff in your face, right? You look presentable, you look nice, you feel good. Now, you're going to put on some proper clothing, potentially to match the situation, circumstance, yeah. If it's a casual dining, you might go out with some jeans and a sweater. If it's fine dining, you might put on a blazer, a turtleneck, maybe a tie, whatever. You put something on, folks. First, we just finished talking about put off. But now let's talk about put on. Let's put on. Ephesians 4:24, please. It says this. And that you do what? Put on the new man, which was created according to God, the true righteousness and holiness. Amen, folks. Amen. Praise God. And just to help us out right now, Paul gives us some example right now on the very next verse, for example. This is what he writes. I'm ready for the next verse. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. How about that? Praise God. What am I taking off? The old man. Specifically, right now, in reference to this verse, is lying. We need to stop lying. We need to be truthful. I need to be able to trust every single word that comes out of your mouth. This is what we're putting off. And what am I putting on? Telling the truth. That's right, brother. Thank you. Telling the truth. In the car industry, when I meet somebody for the first time, right? Before I say this, let me just say this. There is a saying in the car business that says this, and it's very unfortunate, but I've come to find out it's very true. It says, buyers are liars. Mr. Customer has a trade that is 5 years old, and it has about 40,000 miles. And according to him, it was better than when it was brand new. It was better than when he took delivery of the car, right? There's no scratches, there's no dings. It's mechanically sound. Brakes and tires are great. But then when he put numbers on it, sight unseen, of course, right? So they come back with the trade and they're ready to take delivery of their new car. And when we go to physically analyze their trade, there's another saying in the car business that goes like this. The cars hit everything but the lottery. There are dings and it's hit everywhere. It's hit everything. Everything. There's scratches, there's gouges, there's rips. Tires are almost bald. Some might even have a cracked windshield. Paul is telling us right now, put off lying. Let us not lie to one another. And put on truth-telling, truth-speaking. This is what the Lord wants us to do. To be honest with everyone. And then he says this in verses 26. I'm ready for that, please, brother. Verses 26 says this. Be angry, okay? Go ahead. Get mad. And do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Then he says this. Notice, right now, take very good notice of the fact that you could be angry. You could be angry. But when Paul tells us we're supposed to be taking something off, right? What are we supposed to be taking off? The old man. Very nice. The old man. We are to take off the right. The right. To sin against others when we are angry. This is what we're supposed to diffuse. Okay? But what are we supposed to be putting on? Maybe you might be asking, right? This is what you're supposed to put on. An alarm clock. Why an alarm clock? The alarm clock is the sun going down. That is the alarm clock. You have an alarm clock when the sun goes up, right? Invest in an alarm clock when the sun goes down. Is it making sense to you right now? Yes? Invest in an alarm clock. Maybe not literally, but if that helps you, by all means, use it. Use it. We are to put on the decision to control how long we can be angry. We are refusing to nurse our anger for days, for weeks, for years, folks. For years. Resentment. Let it go. What did Pastor used to always say? You don't know what I've been through, etc. And Pastor used to say, well, you don't know your God. The Lord said you can do it. The Lord said you can do it. Go ahead. Throw yourself on the ground. Roll around. Throw a tantrum. No baby tantrum. No baby tantrum. Right? This is what I say to my daughter all the time. But go ahead, have a fit. But once that sun goes down, that's it. Nip it in the butt. No more. This is what the Word of God says. Do you remember me telling you the Ephesians was a home for criminals? There were probably a good number of ex-thieves inside of that church in Ephesus. And I suspect they're tempted to go back into their life of crime. And what is Paul telling them to take off right now? Stealing. Exactly, brother. Stop stealing, folks. And what are these folks supposed to put on? Get a job. Right? Get an alarm clock. Then get a job. Or maybe get a job and then get yourself an alarm clock. This is what he's saying. Now, this is interesting. Paul doesn't just stop right there as far as telling them to get a job. He tells them why they should go and get a job. They should get a job so they have something to share with others. Don't just get a job. Put on. Do something. Once upon a time, you used to take. This goes to the heart of changing the thief's motivation. He used to steal because what is yours is mine and I can take it. But now, he is to think of his money, which he has earned with a job, as something to give. To others, to give. His money is now the money he can give away. The money that he can go and buy things to bless others. It's not just important for someone to stop stealing. Now you gotta go get a job, and then you gotta go 2.0, even further. Now you give away. Is this making sense to you? Is it clicking? And lastly, we're going to cover verses 29. We're still on chapter 4. We're going to cover verses 29 through 32. The Word of God says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ, folks, forgave you." You and I. Wow. What am I supposed to take off? Vulgar words. Corrupt talk. Curse words. Profanity. Nasty and obscene statements. Words that make your skin crawl when people hear them. Nasty jokes. What am I supposed to put on in its place? Words that build others up and make people feel good. This is what we're supposed to do. I did a funeral service back in November for a sister here who is with the Lord now. This sister was a huge blessing in my life. Oh, was she such a blessing. And she was even a greater blessing in the life of my wife. You might know who I'm talking about. You should sit right over there. Man, this lady was a blessing. And I know people aren't perfect. None of us is perfect, including myself. We're not perfect. But we can strive to be like Jesus. This sister and I, have had many conversations throughout the years that I've known her. But only one stands out. And that one conversation, that one statement, is the very last thing she said to me before she went to be with the Lord. I did visit her in the hospital. But she was somewhat in, she was a little bit out of it. She was heavily medicated because she had just gone through a procedure. But she responded to me positively. But the very last thing that I remember her saying to me was this: "You are the best looking preacher I've ever seen in my life." Praise God. Yes. Yes. I love it. I love it. I like it. That's pretty awesome. And I don't mind just remembering these words every single time I think of my sister Melissa. She thought I was handsome, and I look good, and I dress well. She once made a comment about my socks. Don't you go looking at my socks now. No, I don't care. Doesn't matter. You know, awesome words. It had to have been a Sunday morning. Yeah. It had to have been a Sunday morning because I did greet her going out the last Sunday that she was here. But I don't remember what words that were exchanged. But I do remember before service, I was one of the first ones here that Sunday. And her and I met in the parking lot, right? And we somewhat met right there in front of the door. And she just stopped, like, put her hands on me, stopped me on the sidewalk there, and just gave me that statement: "You are the most handsome preacher I've ever seen in my life." And that just made me melt. Wow. Yes. Boy, I love it. And this is what Paul is instructing us to do. Let's put away all animosity. Let's put away all clamor. Let's put away all shameful talk and edify one another. Raise one another up. Speak love. Speak encouragement. Praise God. That is it. Why? Why would God hate bad language? Why would God hate angry talk? Well, because God knows you and God knows me. Okay? And he knows enough about us that he can say all types of nasty things about us. He can. Believe, if there's one person that can. He knows things. He can say all types of things about you that you don't want others to know about. But he doesn't. He doesn't talk bad about you at all. As a matter of fact, your sins from yesterday, your sins from the past, he doesn't even remember it. The Bible says it's as far as east is from the west. How far is that? You can't put a number on it. You can't measure that distance. How far is east from west? Where does it start and where does it end? You can't. That's how far it is. This is why he doesn't like you talking bad about others. Because he doesn't talk bad about you. It's as simple as that. He won't repeat those words about your past because our Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven you and has already forgiven me in Christ. All our shameful behavior are erased. And since that is true, it's inappropriate for us to be grateful to him for forgiving us and then us turning around and not forgiving others and their behaviors. It's wrong. We want to be able to accept forgiveness from our God? Well, you have to also forgive your fellow man who you see, who you interact. who you're around. This is what we must do. In closing, I just want to say a few things here. It's getting ready to be the top of the hour now. Now, in the midst of the conversation about taking off sin deeds, sinful deeds, and putting on good deeds, we must not lose sight of the fact that we are not doing all this because we're nice people. All right? We may think that we are, but that's not possible. Isaiah 64 tells us this, to be exact, 64:6. All our righteousness, our righteous acts are like what? Filthy rags. All the nice things that we do, all of our righteousness, they're like filthy, filthy mechanical rags. You know those rags the mechanics use? It starts out blue, or it starts out burgundy, and then it ends up black. Filthy rags. This is our behavior. Filthy rags before God. Before God Almighty. In other words, we won't be able to stand before God at the judgment seat and say, "Hey, look how nice I dressed myself. Look how nice I look." Right? Ain't I pretty? You can't say that. That's not going to work. No, 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 no. This isn't about dressing up in our righteous deeds. It's about dressing up in our Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness. This is what it's about. In Revelations 3:18, our Lord Jesus says this. Can I have that, please? I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. The white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Instructions from our God. It's our Lord Jesus who clothes us in pure garments. Only our Lord Jesus. It's His blood that forgives us and covers the nakedness of our sins. In fact, that's how we come to salvation. That's how we repent. When we are baptized in our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says this in Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have done what? You have put on. You have already put on Christ. This is what our Lord says. Put on righteousness. Put on Christ. You want to leave your past behind. You want to leave 2020 behind you. You want to start afresh. You want to start anew. Put on Christ. Put on righteousness. It doesn't matter what the world is saying around us. It doesn't matter the day and age that we live in. You can still live a righteous life. You can still have an influence, an impact on the things that you say, the things that you do, how you carry yourself. You could be a light in this world if you just put on Christ. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. I'd like for you to take the time right now to briefly close your eyes and bow your heads. What I'm about to do right now is give you an invitation to give your life to the Lord. This is an opportunity that everyone should have. And everyone should not miss this opportunity. When you give your life to God, when you give your life to the Lord, you put on the new man. You are a changed person. We read it this morning. You have the seal of God in you. The Lord is keeping you for the day of redemption. But in order for you to have a new beginning, in order for you to have a new start, if in case you want things to be brand new, suppose you say, man, I am tired of this. I am ready. I am so ready right now. Come on, 2021. This is the beginning. This is the start of a new year. What's this, January 3rd? Yes. It's only 3 days into the new year. And you're saying to yourself right now, I want this year to be the best year of my life. What can I do? This is what you do. You repent from your sins. You repent from your pasts. And you dedicate your life to Jesus. And you watch. And you watch. You're going to be a new, brand spanking new person because you have put on the new man, righteousness. If you look at me just 10 years ago, it's two different people. I had long hair, nothing like the buzz cut I have today. I was dirty. I was broke. Didn't have a place to live. Things just weren't working out. Living paycheck to paycheck when I had a paycheck. And now, the Lord has taken care of me in every aspect of life. The Lord has blessed me with a beautiful home. Oh my gosh, a beautiful home. Praise the Lord for that. With a beautiful wife, a beautiful child. And the Lord blesses everything that I do. Every single thing that I do. Not because I'm extra special. Not because I'm a pastor of a church. Because I have dedicated my life and actively decided to put off the old man, my old lifestyle, and put on the new man, which is our Lord Jesus. And you can do the same this morning. Are there any takers right now? Everybody, eyes closed. Heads down, please. Eyes closed. It's a serious business. Anyone? If in case you're watching this right now, and you are that person, I want to give you the opportunity right now for you to repeat after me, say these words, and believe everything that you're saying right now. Think about every single word that you are about to say. Mean it. And actively seek to do things differently. Do things that the Bible says. I want you to repeat after me right now. Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to take control of my life. Please forgive me from my sins, from my past. And Lord, give me a new beginning. May today be a brand new day. A day that I am putting on the righteous man, the righteousness of God, and leaving behind my old nature, my past, what I used to do, I do not do any longer. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me for my sins. Thank you for writing my name in the book of life. I love you, Jesus. thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And Lord, we bless your holy name. We bless your holy name, Lord, that you are here with us. Lord, we thank you for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful to us, Lord, even at times when we were not faithful. Thank you so much, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that's inside each one of us. And Lord, we live to please you. We live to bring honor and glory to your name. May all that we do, Lord, may all that we say, our entire conduct be dedicated, Lord, to you. Not just, Lord, today, Sunday, January 3rd, but Lord, may it be for the rest of this year, and may it be, Lord, for the rest of our lives. Lord, we are here to serve you, to please you. Lord, we love you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.